Amen. That is, thank you, worship team. That truly is our prayer this morning. Well, we are beginning a new sermon series in which we've titled Neighboring God's Way. We're going to be in this series for the next 6 weeks, and we're going to look at what Scripture says about loving our neighbors, what Scripture says about showing hospitality. And we'll look at what I mean by neighbor in a little bit here. But first, I want to explain a little bit how this series came about. So last October, Pastor Brian, myself, Tom Pritchard, one of our elders here, we went down to Atlanta for a seminar put on by this Christian-based organization. And they talked about helping churches, helping Christians understand how to better reach, how to better engage with their neighbors. And so this organization has been focusing on South Atlanta for the last 13 years. And it's been amazing to see the work that God has done through the believers there as they've reached out with the love of Christ. God has used them to bring both spiritual and societal change as believers have moved into these neighborhoods and just reached out with the love of Christ, and they're trying to address the different needs that neighbors have. And Brian and I were profoundly impacted by what we saw, by what we experienced, by what we learned. And so a lot of this sermon series is birthed out of what we saw, what we learned, what we experienced. And here's really the big idea for us the next 6 weeks. It's nothing cute, nothing really profound, but I just want to kind of explain where we're going, and I've framed it in a form of a question. So here it is. How can we as the church seek to show hospitality and love our neighbors in a Christ-like manner? Church meaning all of us, God's people. So what does it mean for you and I to show biblical hospitality in 2018? So we're going to talk about who our neighbors are. We're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens. We're going to talk about loving the least. We're going to talk about reconciliation in God's kingdom. And let me just say this up front. Some of us, we may feel a little uncomfortable with some of the issues we address, some of the things we bring up through this series. This isn't necessarily a feel-good sermon series. Yet Pastor Brian and I, we don't want to shy away from some of the difficult passages in Scripture or some of the difficult instruction that God gives us as his people. And so my prayer for us is that we would allow the Holy Spirit to really begin to do a work of transformation in our hearts, in our minds, as we grow in our understanding of what it means to love our neighbor, of what it means to show hospitality. So let me pray. And then we'll dive into this morning's sermon. Father, I do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. I pray that we would understand just in a new way the compassion, the love, the mercy we all have received in Christ. And how you call us to extend that same love, compassion, mercy to others. So Father, I ask that you would speak through me this morning. Father, again, I pray that we would truly see the gospel, the message of the gospel through this text. So come, remove distraction. I pray that our focus would be on you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the word hospitality, it can be a little difficult to understand. I was always somewhat confused by it. When we talk about somebody having the gift of hospitality, we usually think of someone who's great at inviting people over to their home, or maybe someone who's a really good cook. I've shared stories about this person before, but when I grew up overseas, there was this lady in our church, her name was Miriam, and she just had this great gift of hospitality, and she was always inviting people over, church members after church on Sunday, and we all loved it because this sister in Christ, man, she was a fantastic cook, and so when you got invited over to Miriam's house, you knew you were getting a great meal. And now hospitality does involve inviting people into your home, but it's more than that. In the Greek, the word hospitality is this, and you'll see it on the screen, it's philoxenia. Philoxenia, and it means showing brotherly love to strangers. Now, showing hospitality, it is strongly encouraged throughout Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We read earlier from Leviticus 19, which says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall love him as yourself. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the hospitable behavior of those who will inherit the kingdom. He says, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I was in prison, you visited me. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. In Acts 2, We see that hospitality was central to the early church. The believers would gather for meals. They were experiencing community. They would share of their resources. They made sure no one was in need. And what happened? Acts 2:47. God added to their number daily. And then in 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:7 through 8, hospitality is a hallmark of church leaders. So showing brotherly love to our neighbors, being hospitable, is something that the scriptures take very seriously. Now, it's easy to be hospitable towards those we know and like, right? Those whom we have a relationship with. Yet the true meaning of hospitality, what the scriptures call us to, is to show love to the stranger. So it is engaging and reaching out to those whom we don't know, those whom are different than us, those whom we are not close to. And that's a little more difficult, is it not? You've probably had this experience on a Sunday morning. You see someone new at church and you walk up to them and you're like, "Hi, how are you? My name is Ben." Awkward, right? Because like, what do you say after "Hi, how are you?" I mean, how do you carry that conversation further? Showing hospitality is not always easy. Loving our neighbors in the way Christ calls us to, it can be difficult. So that brings us to our text for today. It's a very well-known parable that Jesus told. And through this parable, he explains who our neighbor is. So we're going to be in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. I would really encourage you to follow along in your Bibles this morning. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then I'm going to explain the text a little bit, read a few more, explain the text. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible next to you. And we're on page 869. So beginning in Luke 10, verse 25. "And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him," this is Jesus, "to the test." Now, I already have some questions about the intelligence of this lawyer. Because if you're putting Jesus to the test, chances are you're going to get owned, right? I mean, Jesus knows everything. He's just going to win. Let's just say that up front here. But he wants to put Jesus to the test. So here's what the lawyer says. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he, the lawyer, answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, this is really a fascinating exchange between Jesus and the lawyer. And what we see in these verses is a lawyer exposed. So the lawyer, he asks the question, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Hey, you're a lawyer. What does the law say?" And the guy gets the answer right. He nails it. And he summarizes the law under love God, that's the first three commandments, and then love your neighbor, commandments 4 through 10. Now, there are a couple of things I believe Jesus is trying to reveal to the lawyer here. Don't miss this. This is the first thing, that obeying the law won't save you. Jesus is revealing that following the commandments, obeying them, does not make us right before God. You see, we can do our best to love God. We can do our best to love our neighbors, to serve them, yet that won't give us right standing before God. We don't get into heaven because we obey the law and love our neighbors. What does the law reveal to you and me? We've talked about this. It reveals our need for a Savior. It is impossible for you and for me to fulfill the law. How many in here could stand up with confidence and say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength"? Yeah, I've never failed at that. Loving my neighbors, serving them, man, I do that daily and I do it really well. No, none of us can do this. You and I, we need a Savior, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's not your doing. It is a gift from God." Again, our only way to eternal life is through Jesus, believing, trusting in him as our Lord and Savior. And the lawyer, he thought he was justified before God because of his good works. Yet Jesus says, no, 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 no. You've got it all wrong. Not only that, but it is impossible for you to love your neighbor as God called you to love your neighbor. And we'll see that in the parable that Jesus tells. Now, another thing that Jesus is exposing in the lawyer is that his actions are not reflecting what he knows he should be doing. So the lawyer gets the answer right. But then Jesus says, now go and love your neighbor. And right then, the lawyer knew that he was in trouble. This is one of those oops moments, because he knew he was supposed to love his neighbor, but he also realized that his actions, the way he was living, was not reflecting a love for the neighbor, a love for the stranger. And so I believe Jesus is exposing in the lawyer and also in us that we can understand, we can know in our minds the right thing to do. However, that doesn't necessarily mean we'll do it. Right knowledge does not always lead to right behavior. Right? We're all guilty of this. Jesus, I know you've asked me to do this. I know you've asked me to follow you in this way, but yeah, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, I'm busy. You know, just a lot going on. I'm lazy. You know, don't want to go there right now. So I believe the lawyer is threatened because he needs to justify why his belief is not playing out in his life, why his understanding has not equated to a life that lines up with how God designed life to work. And again, we can be guilty of this as a church, as God's people. We know we're supposed to love our neighbors. We know we're supposed to welcome the new person, be hospitable, share Christ with those who don't know him, but it's difficult. It can be uncomfortable. A lot of us, we're not sure where to begin. So we think, well, let's just put the deacons in charge of that. I mean, they're hospitable people, right? I mean, it's kind of in their job description. So let's put them in charge of greeting people and welcoming the neighbors, welcoming those who are new. Or how about the staff? We'll put the staff in charge of trying to figure out how to reach the neighborhood. And yeah, we'll kind of support them, but then we can kind of be off the hook and maybe kind of just hang out with those people whom we like. And I got to be honest, even as a pastor, and I'm pretty extroverted. I love being with people. I love engaging in conversation. Those of you who know me know that. But even as a pastor, this can be difficult. Reaching out to newcomers, trying to engage with my neighbors. Why? Because I like those whom I know, and I'm a busy person, right? And Sunday only comes around once a week, and so I want to connect with the people I haven't seen all week. And it's difficult to try and be friendly. It's difficult to try and reach out. And so we can be guilty, and here's what the lawyer did. We can be guilty of trying to get around this loving our neighbor thing. And so the lawyer was doing that, and he knows that if he claims to love God, that he should love his neighbor as well. Because to profess love for God and yet not love one's neighbor, that's hypocrisy. And so he tries to justify his action, and he asks a very pointed and clarifying question, and we see it in verse 29. He says, who is my neighbor? Okay, so I'm supposed to love people, but Jesus, whom exactly do I have to love? Is my neighbor like my legit neighbor, the guy who lives next to me? Maybe the people who live across the street from me? Is it just those whom I really like being with, those who have the same interests as I do? Please tell me that's who my neighbor is. And Jesus, he cuts straight to the heart of the lawyer, and he reveals his hypocrisy. Let's pick it up here in verse 30. So the lawyer asks, who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite. Now the priests and the Levites were those whom God had set apart, those whom were responsible for the priestly duties. So there were people that had great and a very important responsibility within the Jewish culture. So Levi, a priest, passed by. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, most likely, this lawyer, he was a member of the Pharisaic party. So he was a Pharisee. And Jesus knew that. Now, the Pharisees were known for excluding certain people from their definition of neighbor. sinners who were ignorant of the law, Samaritans, other outsiders, like the Gentiles. So the Pharisees did not consider these people as neighbors. In fact, the lawyer probably felt that it was God-pleasing to show hatred towards these groups of people. Not only that, but at the top of the lawyer's list of neighbors to be loved would be priests and Levites. So if the lawyer was supposed to love anyone, be compassionate towards anyone, it was the priest, it was the Levite. Yet Jesus parades the priest and the Levite as models of the indifferent, the unmerciful, and the loveless. And just imagine how uncomfortable this lawyer must have been as Jesus is telling the story. He's thinking, yeah, I love my neighbor, priests and Levites, right? Oh, wait. Those guys are unmerciful. Those guys are indifferent. Do I really want to be like them? And it gets even more uncomfortable for our lawyer friend. Look at what happens here in verse 33. But a Samaritan. Now, a lot of us, we probably know the history of the Jews and the Samaritans. They had this hate fest going on that was happening for centuries. In fact, the Jews prayed that God would not save the Samaritans. They prayed, don't save them. Don't extend them grace. I mean, how cruel is that? And yet Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. Again, verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3, Jesus said, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Excuse me one moment. Have a really dry throat this morning. Ah, there we go. All right, so this Samaritan who would have been hated by the Jews, he did one simple act. Instead of keeping his distance, he took pity on another human being. He showed love, compassion, mercy, hospitality to the stranger, to the one who was in need. And Jesus is revealing to the lawyer that God is a God of love, of mercy, and compassion towards all people, regardless of their background, regardless of their past behavior. And Jesus calls the lawyer to show love, mercy, and compassion in the same way the Samaritan did. Not just to the people he likes and gets along with, but also towards those who are different than him, those whom he would consider his enemies. Okay, so what does all this mean for us now in 2018? Well, I have a couple questions for us, just as a form of application, and I'll try to answer these this morning. Here's the first one. Whom should I consider as my neighbor? Whom should I show love and hospitality to? Is it just those who are like me? Those I like being around? Those who do not disrupt my schedule? Those who aren't an inconvenience to me? That's who my neighbor is, right? Well, it's interesting. In the Greek, the root word for neighbor, and Mike did a great definition of, or a great job explaining this morning, but the Greek root means whoever happens to be nearby or close at hand. Whoever happens to be nearby or close at hand. I put this quote on your sermon notes from Martin Luther, the great Lutheran reformer. He says this, our neighbor is any human being, especially one who needs our help, as Christ interprets it in Luke 10, verse 30 through 37. Even one who has done me some sort of injury or harm does not stop being my neighbor. One pastor said it like this, your neighbor is the next person you come in contact with. That's it. Pretty simple. But also kind of convicting. Right? So that annoying person you run into in the grocery line at the store, yeah, she's your neighbor. Got to show them love, mercy, compassion. That couple that lives 2 doors down from you. There's a lot of arguing, A lot of yelling coming from the house. That's your neighbor. Or that member who's faithfully attended Hope for the last 40 years and just followed Jesus faithfully, served faithfully, but for the last several months has been battling sickness, has been battling illness, and you haven't seen him for several weeks, and you wonder, I wonder how he's doing. That's your neighbor. Or that loud kind of obnoxious kid who kind of disrupts the sermon on Sundays, or maybe disrupts Wednesday nights a little bit for those of you who are here. Yeah, that's our neighbor. Students, middle school, high schoolers, that annoying, kind of awkward, kind of different kid whom you don't really like, whom no one really pays attention to, that's your neighbor. Or that single mom who walks in here on a Sunday morning and she has five kids with her, and she's tired, she's worn out, she's a bit frazzled, a bit confused, she's been working 2 to 3 jobs just to provide for her family's needs, and she's looking for a place to belong, and she's wondering, will these people love me despite my past mistakes, despite my wrongdoings? She is our neighbor. Are we willing, church, are we willing to engage with these neighbors? Show them hospitality, befriend them, share the love of Christ with them? Or do we see reaching out to them and inviting them into our home, our church, our circle of friends as an inconvenience? God calls us. He calls us to act in love toward all people, but especially those in need. So here's some questions I want us just to ponder and think through, and I hope we can answer these in a little more detail throughout the sermon series, but I'll just put them on the screens for you. They should be in your sermon notes as well. Are we welcoming to our neighbors? And this can apply to us as a church, but also to you personally, to your family, to maybe a group of friends. Would our community or would our surrounding community say we are a church of love and compassion where anyone would feel welcome? And then do our hearts, attitudes, and actions reflect a true desire to show love to our neighbors? And I pray we would not be like the lawyer who had the right knowledge. I mean, he got the answer right. Jesus commends him for it. Yet that knowledge had not translated into right behavior, into truly loving his neighbor. And I pray that wouldn't be us. Here's a second question. How do I love my neighbor? How do we do that? Well, in a few weeks, we'll get to some very practical ways and ideas of how to engage with, how to show love to our neighbors. But as we end today, I really want to bring us back to the gospel. I love 1 John 4:19, which says this: we love because he, that's God, first loved us. And compassion and love for our neighbors, it flows out of understanding and knowing the love, the mercy, the grace, the compassion, the forgiveness we have received in Christ. How did Jesus love us? While we were yet sinners, while we were separated from God, Jesus died for you and me. Not because we were good, no. He died for us because he loves us. He loved us even when we didn't deserve it. And Jesus became the Good Samaritan for us. He laid down his life. He befriended us while we were yet his enemies. And because we've been freely loved in that way, we should reflect that love to others. Please hear me this morning. A love for our neighbor, it must be motivated. It must be motivated out of the love, the mercy, the compassion we have received in Christ. This should not be a have to. I don't want us to leave here thinking, oh, Pastor, you just beat me up today. He said, do. I got to go out and engage with my neighbors. No, that's not the point. No, this should be a get to for us. We get to love our neighbors in this way because of the love, the mercy, the grace we have received in Christ. I get to love that annoying family member, right? Oof, it's difficult. Yet if we've received love, mercy, compassion from Christ, we can love others in that way as well. You see, the lawyer, he got it all wrong. He was trying to justify his behavior. He thought, I can follow the law, I can do good, I can love my neighbor, and in that earn favor with God. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. This isn't about earning favor with God. And besides that, it's impossible in your own strength, your own power, your own will to love your neighbor as God calls you to. As I said earlier, showing hospitality, loving our neighbors. It's difficult, church. It's difficult. And so we must remember Christ's words in John 15. We know it well by now. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we won't please God. Apart from Christ, we will not love our neighbors as God calls us to. And so again, I don't want this to be one of those do, do, do. I just got it in my own will, my own power, try to figure out this neighboring thing. No, that's not the point of this series. Rather, my hope is that the posture of our hearts throughout this series would be, Jesus, I need your help. I need your help. Jesus, I need your mercy, your compassion, your love. Would you give it to me so that I can love my neighbor, so I can love the stranger around me? So this week, I was studying for this text and just really praying and trying to kind of bring it all together. And I was just asking God, I just really want the gospel to be communicated through this parable. So I was reading this commentary it's a Concordia commentary by a guy named Arthur Just. And as soon as I read this quote, I literally jumped out of my seat and did a little dance in my office. And I'm glad no one saw me because I was embarrassed. But I'm like, this is it. This really summarizes so well what I believe Jesus was trying to communicate to the lawyer. And so you'll see the quote on your sermon notes. I've also put it on the screens. But please hear this. And Holy Spirit, please speak this morning. Again, it's just a great summary of this parable that Jesus told. The author writes, how indeed is a person to show mercy as the Samaritan did? The gospel reveals that such doing flows only from having received God's mercy. The lawyer says, I will act to love my neighbor as myself. Tell me who he is. But Jesus answers, you cannot act, for you are dead. You need someone to love you, show mercy to you, heal you, pay for you, give you lodging, revive you. I am the one you despise because I associate with sinners. But in fact, I am the one who fulfills the law and who brings God's mercy. Now, please don't miss this. Jesus says, I am your neighbor and will give you the gifts of mercy, healing, and life. As I live in you, you will have life and will do mercy, not motivated by laws and definitions. That was the lawyer. But motivated, animated by my love. You see why I jumped out of my chair and did a little dance there in my office? Yeah. That's the gospel, is it not? That's what you and I need to be reminded of this morning. And so my prayer for us, again, is that we wouldn't be guilted into something. I wouldn't think, man, I gotta do, do, do. No. That we would allow the love, the mercy, the compassion we have received in Christ to motivate us, to flow through us as we seek to love the neighbor, as we seek to love the stranger among us. Let's join our heads or bow our heads in prayer this morning. Jesus, I thank you for the grace, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness we have received in Christ. Holy Spirit, help us to see that this morning. Lord, my prayer all week has been that this wouldn't be a do, do, do kind of sermon series, but that time and time again, we would be brought back to the heart of the gospel. So Lord, help us rest in that. Help us rest. Remind us of what Jesus accomplished for us. But Lord, also we need your help to engage with the neighbors, to engage with newcomers. Help us, Father. Pray for those whom this is extremely difficult for. Maybe those who are just having some issues within family right now. That's their neighbor, God. Would you give them compassion, mercy, the love that they need? So, Father, may we encourage one another in this. And again, may we look to you as our source of strength, as our help, as we seek to love the neighbors among us. We pray this in your beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.